You're listening to Faith and Fostering, the podcast where people of faith chat about foster care in the Australian context to encourage, edify, and educate others along the journey.
Welcome back to Faith and Fostering. It's great to have you with us again today. This is part two of a two-part episode. So if you haven't heard last week's episode, then I suggest you go back and have a listen to it, as that's going to set you up for the discussion that's about to start. For those of you who have, let's launch in with part two of this interview.
Have you got, say, one or two, possibly even three, if you can think of it, stories that really just represent what has, like, the joyous part for you of restoration? Like, can you think of three?
The joyous part of restoration, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, asking a dad, can I pray for you? Because that, you know, asking a dad, does he want to read the Bible together? And I've had yes to both. Two different dads, and we're still talking. So that has to be number one most joyous moment, because that's the thing that's closest to my heart, is eternity and Jesus and all that stuff. That's why we do what we do. That's why we stepped into foster care, 4 years ago or whatever. To see the opportunity that God sees. And you and I have been talking about that verse, look and see that the harvest is ready, as Jesus said. And a friend of ours was talking to us about that recently, and we really have to read that verse in our current context with faith, don't we? And I think even in the context 2,000 years ago, the disciples had to employ that with faith. We look around, we see destruction, we want to go and share the gospel with people, we want to go plant churches and build bridges into communities, we want to foster children, and yet when we ask people to step into foster care or ask people to step out in faith, sometimes we sing big rock songs to Jesus, and we're all like, yeah, come on, like, we can do this. And then, the next day rolls around and it's like, oh, I think I've got to go and, knit some socks, or I've got to go and do whatever. Got to go and update my Instagram profile, or, whatever it is.
You've got to do the bank, like, I've got to go and work.
I've got to go and work. I've got to make some money. And, but we can do this, and then I go to a conference. It's like, yeah, like, and at the end of the day, that has to be a high point for me, because when you say to a dad, that you've restored kids, you say, hey, can I pray for you? And yeah, when you're chatting, when you're having a yarn, and you're going pretty deep, and when you're reading the Bible with another dad, and praying as well with him, and seeing their family restored and actually praying over them. Like, with one family, we had them over for dinner recently, and yeah, it was the last dinner that the kids had at our house. And in fact, we'd restructured the whole house because they were doing transition back to mum and dad. So the kids came back and we said, hey, come look at your room. It's no longer your room anymore. Jude's, like, our son, Jude. Jude's moved into this room. They're like, oh, wow. And, that night we just, before dinner we say, grace, and we prayed, but we just prayed over that family. Look, this is, God desired the family, and we honor that. And we just pray a blessing over this family. And so to start seeing with God's eyes, to start seeing with faith the possibility of the harvest, to start seeing what he wants to do in people's lives, and to start seeing that enacted is absolutely far and away number one joy.
What's number two?
And honestly, I know it's all emotive language and probably doesn't mean much to anyone, but honestly, I'm overflowing with happiness. It's just amazing. Oh, number two joy of seeing a family restored. I think it's, everything probably comes under that first point. So I'll give probably a couple more detailed subpoints, but I think looking from a distance and seeing a family operate as a family is lovely.
Just
being invited to a party and mum and dad are there, their kids are there, and they're all back together. Probably some sweet, I think with both sets of kids, we had this Terry, but I remember it more more, I remember it better with the more recent ones, of course, because it's just, you know, it's recent, but just, you know, they'd come back from doing sleepovers with mum and dad as we do the transition. So they'd, you know, a few nights at our house, a few nights at theirs. And you know, they'd come back and they'd just be full of stories like, oh, we, you know, we all slept in the same bed in the lounge room and we woke up and, you know, then we put the Christmas tree up and, you know, we did this and we did that and just, oh man, that's pretty sweet to see a family just functioning as a family. Like, man.
It is. Yeah. I think even when you see them, I just remember that birthday party that you're talking about, just when they first saw us, just their faces are lighting up and it's like it's a good experience for them. They've come away with, oh, that person, I'm excited and yeah, it's good to see them. And I think that also for me was just a joy that, oh, for whatever the experience that they had, it gave them that like lit up smile when they were like, oh, Terry or Phil. Yes. It's like, it's beautiful.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that's a mountaintop moment, isn't it? You know, the day in Rebel Sport, the day in Rebel Sport is just one of the many little valleys. You know, I'm not sure if it's a huge valley, the day in Rebel Sport, but it's a little dip in the level of the ground there. And then, you know, with those smiles. And it'd be great to come up with a number three, like a, you know, a really, really joyful point. Honestly, again, it probably comes under the first point I made, so it's more of a sub point, but on both occasions, I'll give you number three. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This Christmas, the little ones that we had currently were transitioning back to mum and dad. And so they were off with mum and dad for like a whole week.
Yeah.
You and I had a pretty big year. And it was Christmas Eve and it was hot and it was Port Macquarie. It was just lovely. And I was lying back on the couch and just chilling out. And I think our own kids were out of the house or something, visiting cousins or something. And you were in your room wrapping presents with the music on. And then there was a knock at the door and I went down and opened the door and it was, the mum of, a couple of the kids that we had a couple of years ago. And she just popped in and she had her little ones with her. And I said, come on in. And I think she brought around Christmas presents. And I said,
she brought around some biscuits that they'd baked.
Oh, yeah. Biscuits they'd baked. There you go.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And yeah, come on in. So, you know, yeah, like we're just chilling. I walked up the stairs and I brought her into the room and I opened the bedroom door and you said, you got to get out, I'm wrapping presents. And I said, oh, you'll want to see this visitor. And that's just part of our day now. Like, and God's brought that about. And that's just a real blessing to get her to visit. Like that makes our year really. Like, she, you know, absolutely. that doesn't just make our day. Like that makes our week and our month and our year. And just to have her rocking around saying hello and just, you know, drop of a hat. And yeah, like that is a real joy point. And I'd say with both sets of families that we've, you know, had the benefit of rolling with, yeah, they've just texted us or they've said to us, you know, we're just really thankful to have you in our lives. Like they've said that to us. And so that's something that's very, very filling.
Yeah, that's very precious and certainly precious, not
very precious.
Yeah, I just think often when it makes me a bit teary actually, you telling that story. It was very precious. You know that God is working, like you are co-laboring with him, because I just think often it's whenever I talk about our journey, I just feel his grace on things. Yes. And I actually feel almost sometimes a little bit, I don't know if there's a better word, but almost spoiled. Like I know that there's just so many hard stories, many people doing their very best to build relationships in very hard and dry places, and it's just so hard. And I know, yes, at times we've had challenges, but it really hasn't been the full weight of some stories that I've heard. And so, yeah, like our heart goes out to you if that's part of your story. It is not within our control, no matter if we're doing all the things that we know to do to reach out and build those relationships. There are times still that it's just it isn't reciprocated. And I think, yeah, being able to pray and trust the Lord with that as well, whatever it is that's going out. But I think for us, Phil, what we probably found really helped us, and going back to your kind of starting story, is that we did go in with the intention to help families come back together. And right from the moment that we stepped in, we had our eyes on the whole family and building relationships. And for lots of people, as you, like, some people haven't even expected this. It's kind of come straight onto their front door.
Or they haven't had time to think about it.
No. And I think that also, you're almost on the back foot sometimes, and that brings a whole lot of other challenges. So we have been, I think we've benefited from having that clarity, stepping in. And that was just really God's grace. And really, things that when we were looking into, foster care, we didn't know any foster carers. So we were really seeking out who's done it before, how they done it, what have they found. And it was through that search that I think opened my eyes to this idea of fostering a family through a lady in the States but named Jamie Finn. And yeah, I think that was just a gift. And so, again, I mean, this podcast is part of that. When we share our stories with each other, it opens up things that maybe we didn't consider or think about, and it's just a way of helping each other on what, is a challenge.
But I think you make a really good point. I mean, we're telling a couple of, that you could call them fairy tale stories, really. Like, not they're real stories, but it's almost like real fairy tales where, you know, we've come in, and who knows where things go from here, but, we've come in and, some mountains and some valleys, but restoration at the end, and everyone's happy and everyone's getting on the end. And it's all going well, and it doesn't happen like that all the time. And I think we just have to remember that as followers of Jesus, you know, every believer's life has grace in it, and the grace and the hardship is always going to be textured differently. Like, you and I have had moments in our life where God's just worked miracles. Other believers have had moments in their lives where God's just worked miracles and provision and all sorts of things, and God's just moved and things have worked out, and he's just blessed a work. But you and I have also had moments in our lives, but also parts of our lives that are a slog.
Yeah.
You know, it could be like, let's go for the full gamut. Like, it could be a sin that one of us is grappling with, and it's just like some sins, like you pray over it, or you work on it for a little bit and it's just gone. But others, it's like, oh my goodness, this just dogs me. Other parts of it might be aspects of provision, other parts of it might be relationships. There might just be that one relationship or a bunch of relationships that just aren't working. You and I have our hardships, but we can also see just the elements of grace where God's worked. And so what we're describing in terms of our experience in the last 4 years is not prescriptive. I honestly don't think it's the expectation for everyone who steps into foster care. I think you've got to step in knowing. I think, to put it bluntly, you and I, when we step into our next placement, we will go in reminding ourselves of the full spectrum of what could happen.
Yeah.
The difficulties that could happen. We always hope. We always have a hope for certain things. We're hopeful because of who God is, not because of what the situation is. But who knows what could happen? And we'll be got to get ourselves ready for that. So I think you make a really good point there.
Yeah. And I guess the question, one of my questions, I'm like, oh, actually, it's not so interesting. But this one, upon reflection, and it's funny, the two podcasts that we've done with each other, we've done them when we've actually had little ones back to their own families. And that just gives you some insight in when they're in your home, like, the luxury of the two parents doing a podcast is just not there.
Ultra luxury. That is the equivalent of a 6-week trip to Ibiza or something. You know, this is our equivalent.
Absolutely. And I was thinking when we did the last one, and I think it now too, when you aren't in the thick of it, you do have a slight, like, tinted lens that you look back with, right? Like you do, oh, you remember that. You remember it more fondly than what it feels like in the moment. So we appreciate that we are talking from a season where we just have our three biological kids in the house, and sometimes that can also make us sound more positive. But I guess this question was, now that you have some time to reflect, and we did this after the last two before that went home, what is there anything that you will change going into the next story, I guess, of people coming into your home? What are some of those changes that you think you would make?
The one that springs to mind absolutely immediately, and funnily enough, it was something that helped me out through a podcast that I did in this forum with an author called Andrew McDonough, and I was just asking him a bunch of questions. He's a children's author, and he was talking about just being present in the moment to what the Holy Spirit is doing. Little things. And I tend to be the guy who is sort of, a little bit bigger picture, push forward, you know, get 60% of the job done, and then, you know, we'll cack the rest together, but keep pushing forward and have that bigger vision and the big muscle movements. But I was just interviewing him, and he said something which actually struck me, and I think it was the Holy Spirit working in him and to affect me. And being aware of what the Holy Spirit's doing in little moments, because I told him a story about me reading a Bible story to one of our little ones who was with us at the time, and he sort of described that in new language. He's like, oh, yeah, like, you know, I'd looked at it with a certain lens. Oh, it's great. You know, he's getting involved and he's hearing a Bible story and he's hearing about Jesus, and it's great. But he was like, yeah, like being aware of what the Holy Spirit's doing in little moments, and just pausing and watching where the Spirit's leading. And I know that all might seem like very vague language to some, but it just struck me. And after that, I just paused a lot more. And I was just more attentive to the tiny little things, tiny little statements, tiny little moments, tiny little questions, tiny little smiles, you know, whatever. And it was just an experience for me, but it was also a way for me to lead the little ones like better. I could just, I'm actually even struggling to articulate what I mean, but I tend not to notice the little things. And that's probably my personality, like a little smile or a little question or a little, because a little child might ask a little question and, you know, at bedtime or whatever, you're out the shops or whatever. And it's like, oh yeah, it's a little question, just answer a little question. But I'm probably more open to going, oh, where could that little question lead? Like, well, what does God want to do with that little question? Oh, what are you thinking? Like, and sort of not asking those questions to the kid, but like just being open to what's going on. And so I think that'll change a bit more. I've probably articulated that terribly. I think
you've done a pretty good job. I think just to add to that, because I did listen to that podcast that you did, and what I took away from what Andrew was saying, and you've, you know, given language to that, but it was the sense of these little people are like, obviously they're still growing and there's personality that's growing and there's all sorts of things, but in many respects there's this whole package of input that's already gone into their little lives.
Yeah.
And respecting that and studying that and recognizing that and so and valuing that. And I think probably that value is the biggest takeaway of they're more than just a little person in your house that needs food and needs water and needs to play outside. Like they are, you know, a growing adult. They're going to go out into the world and live a life and have agency and bring change to things in the world, and all that potential is already in them now, like as this tiny seed. Yes. And so like you're saying, being aware of the spirit, what the spirit's wanting to breathe on already in them now, that you can help cultivate for what it's going to become later in their life.
That's right. Yeah, it's a good way of putting it. Look, what else would I do differently? I think I was probably more patient in the last placement than what I was in the first one. Like, I think I could see I'm getting better and better at seeing the bigger picture a little bit more. So just having that patience is probably a little bit better. I think you and I have decided to have a break from foster care, you know, unless the Holy Spirit says anything, have a break from foster care for a year or two, because we know that it is a big investment, and we always had a hope of a church community, you know, an emerging church community being encouraged to step into foster care en masse, in a sense. When I say en masse, I mean, you know, you might have a community of 50 or 60 people, but 10 or 20 step into foster care in a way, in a community, and do it together and hold each other up. And so I think it's sort of a change of season, in a sense. So that's something I'm doing slightly differently, in that I'm thinking a little bit more strategically about how we can recruit others to come in on the journey, because I think communities of people doing this is important. And even with our experience, Terry, like, it is a community, isn't it? You're working with your agency. You're working with mum and dad. You're working with the government, the government authority in your jurisdiction. You know, with us, it's DCJ. You know, you're working with, or you're affected by, the court system. At the end of the day, perhaps not everyone gets along, perhaps not everyone has the same point of view, but at the end of the day, it's a community come together. And I think the church can put more people into it, and can wrap around the foster care system a little better. So I think, you know, we'll always be in prayer about when we step back in, but us, you know, God growing the church through us in the next year or two, and then us stepping back in with more of a community, will be even better.
Yeah. 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 God willing, hey?
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you, Phil, for sharing, yeah, just some of those stories, and hopefully that is encouraging for someone, or, yeah, just little something that maybe, yeah, well, they can take away and put into practice. I think after the last time fostering, before we just stepped in, sorry, it's the most recent one, we did review, like, letting go of some things a little earlier on, like having boundaries. Yes, of course, they're important, and structures, but letting some things go that we were, I guess, almost, you know, we held them very tightly, but actually they weren't weren't as important as
we, you know, thought. Probably the first time around, so, yeah, we went into battle on some things that we probably wouldn't go into battle on now.
Correct. And, you know, those are learning journeys for all of us. We're all learning every time we have, other people in our home. And I think that's the beauty, again, of this, is that we're lifelong learners too, that we're always, a friend of mine, and I've just, this phrase keeps coming up. I've said it so many times in the last couple of weeks, but just this idea that you don't know what you don't know, and when you know better, you can do better. And I just think that's such a wonderful script in foster care. There are some things that we just do not know, and we have, like, we cannot change that. But when we learn things that will serve the children and the families around us in different ways, then that's things that we can start to put into practice, because we've seen it done, or we've heard about it, and then we can apply it. So I think in everything in life, there's no point beating yourself up over things you don't know. But when you know better, hey,
you can do better. That's right. And you know, one thing we've experienced twice now is the transition period back to mum and dad, which is usually a time when they say, all right, you know, you start with one night sleep over to mum and dad, and six nights with the foster carers, and then, you know, two nights with mum and dad, and 5 nights with us and so on and so forth. And that is always, or, you know, 100% of the time for us, which is 2 out of 2, it's always been the toughest. It's always been the toughest period. Both times have been the toughest period for us. So, and I think, you know, third time around, hopefully, hey, who knows? We might see a third set of children restored to mum and dad at some point, God willing. But I think I'll look on that transition period with a little more wisdom. And I think both times we went back to the decision makers and we said, hey, look, if you can shorten this transition period as much as possible, that'll be best for the kids. Understanding there are other things at play and things being assessed and all sorts of things. But, you know, a 2-month transition period, you know, quite long, and it's going to be really hard for the kids. But, you know, a month, short, sharp, you know, a month of sort of hybrid mum and dad and foster carers, you know, yeah, it's tough for the kids, but we can get through. And so I think we might advocate a little stronger third time around if we see that coming.
Yep, sounds good. Well, thank you, Phil. And until next time, remember, every child deserves a family.